This podcast was originally live streamed on the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube. New episodes air weekdays, Monday through Friday, at 8 p.m. Eastern at youtube.com/nonsequiturshow. Make sure you never miss a live stream by visiting www.nonsecshow.com/schedule. For the latest news, polls and updates throughout the day, follow us on Twitter at nonsecshow or facebook.com/nonsecshow. That's NONSEQ show. If you'd like to get exclusive content, bi-weekly private hangouts with Kyle and Steve, backstage access to chat with guests after shows hosted on your channel and much more, become a Patreon saint of Non Sequitur. It ensures we continue to improve our show and brings you into the process at the same time. Visit patreon.com/nonsequitur today while the limited spots are still available.
The following podcast is intended for those who believe bold ideas are righteous, unique perspectives are gospel, and strong opinions are sacred. This is Non Sequitur. Never follow. And now, here are your hosts, Kyle Curtis and Steve McRae.
Hello, everyone. Well, we are late again, as usual. Actually, compared to our usual time that we go live, we're actually early. So that's how that works. Hello, Steve and Casey.
Hey.
Hi.
How are
How's
y'all?
It going?
We're stretching.
It's going. I don't know if anyone noticed or not, but we are, unfortunately, we are guestless. Tonight
we are.
We had both actually spoken to Dave yesterday, and sorry, I'm trying to pull up the. I did not have the live chat pulled up, and I just realized that something's missing. I am missing something here, and it's you guys. So let me get you guys where you're not being missed right now. So yes, we Casey contacted him yesterday, as did I. And he said he would be honored to be on. We set up a time for – actually, this was two nights ago. We set up a time for tonight, and everything was good to go. And today, as we're sort of going to dive into a little bit, some allegations were made today that I think may have spooked him a little bit. They caused him to private his account. He's incommunicado. He hasn't answered any of my messages today. And I think it's on the heels of the things that were said about him today. I don't know if that works for his favor or not, but we're going to make you aware of what those things were. And just say that I'm terribly disappointed because I was looking forward to hearing his story. So it's a little disappointing.
I agree. I'm a little disappointed, too, because I was looking forward to hearing his story. I had some people on Twitter that had sent me questions to ask that, you know, they kind of wanted to know. So it is a little bit disappointing. Yeah.
And we're going to go into what those things were. Let me just say at the start of this that, Dave, if you are by any chance watching and at any point you still want to come in, you can feel free to email me at live@nonsecshow.com. That's NONSEQ show.com. And we'll be more than happy to talk to you. I understand that when people make allegations against you, whether true or not, it causes people in some cases to just not want to deal with anyone at all. So I get it. I do want to say off the start that the allegations that were made against him were nothing illegal, nothing nefarious like that. It was a, it's, as you'll see,
well,
a case
of, some of it was. Some of it was about stealing money. But just an allegation. Yeah. From the church.
I didn't know that part. Or I must have skipped over that part. I just know about the affair. That's the only part I know of.
Yeah.
Okay, so KC will be telling us. Apparently there is something that there's a allegation of something illegal. The story is breaking as we go. I just know about the affair part. And to me, at first, I was thinking that this may be just a way to sort of take away from the story that he put out when he did that tweet. And I guess we'll start with that and then let KC sort of go into the other things since she was involved in that today or in the middle of it today. But before we do that, Steve or KC, do either of you have any anything you want to talk about at the top? Anything going on?
Well, I was going to mention yesterday, but I didn't get a chance to. I'm going to be having a hangout this weekend on whether Trump committed collusion or conspiracy to hobble the Mueller investigation, right?
No collusion.
And it's going to be based upon not only the Mueller report, but the testimony of the Attorney General and some of the other things that were going on. So if people are interested in that, I'll give you the time. But probably on Saturday. It's going to be pretty interesting because the more I look into it, it's really convoluted to say the least. But I don't know if you guys watched the Attorney General Barr's testimony for Congress the other day or the Senate. It was enlightening to say the least.
No collusion, witch hunt, fake news.
Oh, there was definitely obstruction. There's just no question. There was obstruction, in my opinion.
Yeah. Casey, anything from you?
To me, I was just going to, weigh in on this whole thing. To me, it's clear that there was obstruction. Also, collusion is not like a real legal term, but it's obvious that the Attorney General is in Trump's pocket. I mean, he's obviously working for him and not for us. So that's upsetting because it's not supposed to be that way. And, I can say a lot of shitty things about Jeff Sessions. I live in Alabama, so Jeff Sessions is my guy. I was happy that he wasn't involving himself in the whole Mueller thing and staying away from the Russia investigation. I thought that was a really good choice on his part. But I don't know, this new guy.
But even Sessions critics want him back after listening to Barr, because as you said, not to get too much in deep in this, because we'll be talking about it on the weekend, but Barr originally, before he even was promoted or given the Attorney General, he even said that the president couldn't commit these types of crimes while being president. He said that an active president couldn't even commit any kind of obstruction in the course of his duties. And people were like, wait, no, that's not the case. But Trump, he was like, oh, this guy thinks there's no way I can do anything wrong. So he made him Attorney General. So of course he's in his back pocket.
You keep saying Trump in Trump's pocket. Can you think of a more horrible place in life to be than in the inside of Trump's pocket? Can you just imagine what that's like?
Underpants. That would be pretty bad. That's
the image I came to my mind too, but I didn't want to say it.
That's funny about that. At the start of this, I wanted to, as people know here, we have this beautiful list, and I believe KC may have her mug handy. We have what we call the bitch made list, and the criteria to get, or the requirements to be on the bitch made list, are that when you say something and you're called out on it, that you don't back it up, that you don't show up, that you run and cower like a little bitch. And we have somebody new tonight that we're going to be adding to the bitch made list. This person posted a comment in the atheist versus theist debate group on Facebook. Quite a horrendous statement. And I reached out to this individual, and me and him had a back and forth on Facebook where I told him that I wanted him to come on here and say that stuff out loud to my face. And like the little bitch he is, he ran and cowered. So we just got a question for you. And Casey's mug says it best. Corey Anderson, why are you so bitch made? Here's his post. It says, remember when that gay club in Florida got shot up? Every witness said the victims were praying and screaming to God. Hashtag hypocrites. Now, there aren't many things that would cause me to completely doubt the ability by which somebody can be so egregiously stupid, such a windbag of a garbage human being like Corey Anderson. But Corey Anderson, the best thing for you to do for yourself and for society is to wander face first into traffic, busy traffic, like that goes through Atlanta. That would be the best thing for you and the rest of our society, because anybody that makes statements like these and can't come and back them up, but instead says things like, well, what are you, a sodomite or an atheist? Or what else did he say, Steve? Something like sodomite, atheist?
So what are you, a sodomite or atheist? He's actually asking me for the link right now. So maybe the fifth name will come in here.
Good. Give him the link.
So Dave, if you can give me a link.
So I wasn't part of this conversation. Actually, this is the first time I'm seeing this, but, I don't see it as hypocritical because there are plenty of gay religious people, like sure. Tons.
That's right. So that's what I thought too. I was like, It wasn't like he was saying, hey, you know, there was like, God forbid nothing happened in Faithless Forum, but it wasn't saying something like, oh, there was a fire at Faithless Forum and all of them are running out praising Jesus, you know, to save their lives.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be hypocritical.
Praying to Jesus. Yeah.
There's plenty of gay Christian and other religious people. Like, that's sure. Ridiculous.
Get him on here.
Yeah, I'm sending absolutely. Him right now. And I don't even know if it'd be hypocritical per se. I could see that argument, don't get me wrong, but people, you know, like I said to Kyle earlier, you know, when people have sex, they cry out God a lot of times. Oh God, even if they're atheists, okay, it's just a term, it's just a word, right? And there might be some atheists that, like, you know, if they feel like their life is threatened, may all of a sudden be, you know, turning to God or something like that. I've had conditions in my life where I was in those situations where I was not sure and I wasn't really religious at the time, but I didn't cry out to God. So I'm thinking that probably most people who are atheists probably wouldn't, but even if they did, so the fuck what? They're under duress.
Yeah, I don't fault them for that. I've never been in a situation where my life has been, you know, a threat. You probably try to think of anything you can to get out of a situation like that. I can't fault somebody for that.
No, that would be not ridiculous. At all. But what did being gay have to do with that? This is the weirdest thing. Like Casey said, there are gay Christians.
But he probably thinks that if people are gay, they're not real Christians because they're gay, and gay is against the Bible.
God, that's so ridiculous.
There are plenty of people like that who think that gay people are, even if they think that they're religious, that they are bad Christians and not really Christians. You know how they do. That no true Scotsman shit.
Well, I'd like to just give you a little quick introduction to Mr. Corey Anderson, because I looked at some of his posts on Facebook while we wait on him to come in. He is apparently a part of a radio show. He does some type of radio stuff called the KABN Network. There is a song that he just put out recently called, and I'm not making this up, okay, Popsicle Nipples.
What? Oh boy!
Popsicle nipples.
Mm-hmm.
Like ice in the mouth, I guess.
Yeah. So I guess as we wait on him to see if he shows or not, we'll see, because I don't want to hold off and then him not show up. So we'll sort of dive into Dave, and if Corey happens to pop in, we'll take care of Corey real quick and then go back to Dave. Let me just pull up Dave's tweet, though, so that you guys
He knows the link is sent to him, but he hasn't seen it yet.
Okay, that's fine. Like I said, I don't expect him to show up. Dave Gass. Okay, so yesterday or 2 days ago, Dave Gass put out a tweet that says, "I am not a Christian anymore." A thread. After 40 years of being a devout follower, 20 of those being an evangelical pastor, I am walking away from the faith. Even though this has been a massive bomb drop in my life, it has been decades in the making. And it follows up with, let's see. I need number two. There's so many tweets to this that it's hard to keep. It's hard to keep these up. Okay, when I was in eighth grade and reading a mythology book, it dawned on me how much of the supernatural interactions between the deity of the Bible and mankind sounded like ancient mythology. That seed of doubt never went away. I was raised in a hyper-fundamentalist family, and it felt good to be in a system that promised all the answers and solutions to life. The problem is the system didn't work. The promises were empty. The answers were all lies. As an adult, my marriage was a sham and a constant source of pain for me. I did everything I was supposed to. Marriage workshops, counseling, Bible reading together, date nights every week, marriage books. But my marriage never became what I was promised it would be. I was fully devoted to studying the scriptures. I think I missed maybe 12 Sundays in 40 years. I had completely memorized 18 books of the Bible and was reading through the Bible for the 24th time when I walked away. I devoured all of the Christian apologetic books that came out, and none of them answered my questions regarding the nature of God and the problems I found within the scriptures. I found these books to be trite, dismissive, and full of pseudoscience and evidence. The more I read and studied the scriptures, the more questions I had, literally from the first chapter to the last, so many problems. And the more I learned about how the scriptures were canonized, the less I could believe in the inerrancy model that I had espoused to. In 40 years, I never witnessed a single event that was supernatural. Not one. Time and again, I watched people die of cancer. I did funerals for 47 people from the age of 4 to 96. I prayed in faith with hundreds of people for healing to no avail. God did not answer prayers. My devoutly Christian parents were abusive. My marriage was a sham. Prayer was never answered. Miracles were never performed. People died. Children rebelled. Marriages failed. Addictions occurred at the same rate as non-believers. The system just does not work. I pastored mega churches and tiny churches. I did college ministry, camp ministry, youth ministry, music ministry, preaching ministry, church planting, everything in the church except work in the nursery. And what I saw was people desperate for the system to work for them. I traveled on speaking teams, preached to thousands of teenagers at a time, wrote blogs, was published, formed curriculum, taught workshops, was an up-and-comer reforming my denomination. The whole time hoping at some point it would click and become true for me. Inescapable reality that I came to was that the people who benefited the most from organized religion were the fringe attenders who didn't take it too seriously. The people who were devout were the most miserable, but just kept trying harder. All the while, the experience I had within the church was that a lot, granted, not all, people used the church for power and influence. Many people in the church used it for their small kingdom, for control and ego, and the entire system is rife with abuse, and not just from the top down. Sure, there are abusive church leaders, but church leaders are abused by their congregations as well. Church people are just shitty to each other. I spent my entire life serving, loving, and trying to help people in my congregation, and the lies, betrayal, and slander I have received at the hands of church people left wounds that may never heal. This massive cognitive dissonance, my beliefs not matching my reality, created a separation between my head and my heart. I was gaslighting myself to stay in the faith. Eventually, I could not maintain the facade anymore. I started to have mental and emotional breaks. My internal stress started to show in physical symptoms. Being a pastor, a professional Christian, was killing me. During this time, I also found something amazing. I found a handful of people who were more Christian than any Christian I had ever met, and they weren't Christian. I found love in places where love wasn't supposed to exist. I found acceptance amongst people who were godless. I learned that love is real, that acceptance is possible, that life is vibrant and full, but the church burdens people with fear, shame, and with guilt, all for the purpose of maintaining control. I now see the church as a system perfectly curated to control people and culture. And here's the last one. I was part of the system that enslaves people, and I was both a slave and a slave driver. We called chains freedom and misery happiness. We had impossible standards that we could not meet, so we turned the attention on others so the spotlight wasn't on our own inadequacies. Now, I have to say that that is a extremely heartfelt and just telling take from a pastor of 20 years. And I, as a former Christian, resonate with everything that he said. And like I said, I'm going to say this again. I'm very disappointed that he's not here to go into this in more detail, because it would be great to hear his story and go through these a little bit more in detail. But just on this, before we get into the other stuff, what are your guys' thoughts on where he's coming from here?
Go ahead, Steve.
You know, I actually, when I read that, you know, I can definitely see his point of view on it. I can definitely see when he, I mean, he commented something along the lines that he has never seen anybody actually healed. He actually commented that he's never seen any supernatural event. And I find that a lot with, you know, people that have been in religion, that, you know, they've never really witnessed anything that they can say, hey, this is definitely something that is non-natural. You know, I've experienced things that I can't explain. I don't hold that they're supernatural, but I definitely can't explain them. And a lot of times when people do experience things like that, that's what they latch onto. That's what they'll say, hey, this is something that, you know, is of supernatural origin, and thus, you know, God exists. I've never no longer can make that connection. I did before. I couldn't make that. I thought about it and I couldn't make the connection between, even if these events are the, you know, something non-natural, how does it get you to God? But he's never experienced anything of the sort. And I thought that was very telling. And, you know, he said he read the, you know, like the Bible 24 times or something, you know, straight for his reading. I mean, he's somebody who really knew the scriptures. And it just, it never clicked for him. And the only way I can relate to that is, you know, I haven't read the whole Bible fully, but I've read most of it. But I have read the Book of Mormon twice, and it never clicked for me. I never got that, oh, this is like the most, you know, perfect book on earth. This is the most, you know, in, you know, spiritual book there is. I was like, this is actually pretty poor writing, to be honest with you, although I read it twice. But I never got to the point where I was like, oh, this is like some massive masterpiece. It's very, very redundant. It's very not very well written. I mean, there's probably not a lot of vocabulary in it. And so I get that. I get that whole thing, because I was like, you know, hey, this is it's not working for me. And then of course, what happened in Prop, you know, 8 back in 2008 or so. So I empathize what he said as well.
I want to address Gage. I appreciate the super chat where you say that we should maybe talk to Godless Iowan about church trauma stories, but I don't think that that who? Godless Iowan is going to be Godless who? Iowan.
Who?
Yeah, I know.
Godless Iowan doesn't exist anymore, so I don't know if you guys know that they had a funeral for Godless Iowan. Do you remember? Did you any of you see that?
Yeah, we know the story.
If he did still exist, this would be the last place he would
that's
show
what
up.
I said.
He is not the biggest fan of the non-sex show, just to put that out there. But I appreciate the suggestion of that. But I don't think he likes hanging out with Nazis, so he's not gonna come here.
You know, and I thought, you know, I figured if we could just invite them on and then pull out our swastikas, you know, that would be fun, right? Because that's what we do. Yeah. We have swastikas on the show. Totally Nazi things.
Yeah.
It's a non-sex show.
People ask me what happened.
Where we're Nazis and communists all rolled into one.
Right. We had just to address this so that we're all on the same page. We had a debate between JF and psychopathist or pathiest or psycho something. Anyway, extreme minded people. JF's alt-right psychopathist is he wants separations between the races too. So we brought them on. We had a debate between the two of them. They were debating on slavery. Some people didn't like the fact that we had that debate. But in us sort of going against JF's ideas, somehow we got misconstrued also as being Nazis. Like, we were sitting around just sipping coffee and talking about what's on the Third Reich's agenda this year. So we were deemed Nazis and rape apologists.
It was quite a leap. Yeah. I mean, especially for the fact that, you know, I'm not for separation. I gave him pushback on that whole narrative. Even psychopath atheist, I gave him pushback. And I consider psychopath atheist a friend. I've known him a long time. I don't agree with most of his views, right? But, you know, I give him pushback on it. That's what we do. He was expecting to have some, I would assume. And yet all of a sudden we're like lockstep, goose-stepping with these guys. And I'm like, no, we don't agree with them. I don't know how you're putting us in the same category with them.
To be fair, though, they called you Nazis as well. Anyone that the watches the show is, or they actually said our Nazi audience. So don't dust off those get those swastikas ready. I guess I don't know. I don't get it. I guess because somebody calls you a Nazi, you're a Nazi. That's the criteria, right?
Yeah, I have a really tough time with people and their use of words, because when you use words like that for everyone you disagree with about minor things, the meaning of the word kind of gets lost and watered down. And so I think I don't like that people do that. I think that really you should use words how they're meant to be used, and Nazi doesn't mean somebody you disagree with about something.
Right. And I get how it's funny by saying Heil Kyle in the live chat, but you probably don't want to do that just in case somebody clips that out of context. Okay. We don't need that.
That's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah. Or Z Kyle.
Someone said you're a fashionist.
A fashionist?
Ooh, that one's actually pretty good. Well, that one I like. Funny. You can keep that one. Yeah, that one's good.
Maybe we can go somewhere with this. Like Casey said, don't call somebody racist if they're not really racist. And don't call somebody a Nazi if they're not really a Nazi or a transphobe, because those words have a specific meaning and they're sharp and they sting for a reason, because it's a very, very, very fringe group of people that wear those monikers. And you want it to be where when you say that person's racist, you know that that person is a racist. Or if that person is a Nazi, you know that that person is an absolute Nazi. And to say these things about people that we just have a disagreement with is completely just wrong. It's wrong, number one, within the title, but two, it loses its sting when you call somebody else. And learn how to have a disagreement. Just because you don't like somebody that we're bringing onto the show, tough shit. Watch something else for that night, period. That's the way that goes.
It's funny, most people that those monikers apply to wear those monikers with pride. They really do.
Yeah, they do.
Find a lot of secret Nazis. You don't, and people that are transphobic and homophobic make very clear that they're homophobic and transphobic. The things that they say are very, very, very beyond the pale, and they're very clear about their position. So, they wear the moniker with pride.
Here, maybe tonight we might have somebody that's homophobic. Come on.
Yeah, let me check on him.
So now we're going to switch gears. I told you about I read Dave Gass's.
I didn't get to talk about Dave Gass's thing.
That's what I'm switching gears to.
No, I mean, you read it. You read the whole thing, and then we got Steve's opinion on his initial tweet, and I was going to give you my opinion on his, like, his thread, and then we didn't get there yet.
Yeah, okay. You didn't get back to KC on that.
There are a lot of true things that he said in that thread. And I think that's why it's gone viral and resonated with so many people, because a lot of people have experienced the things that he's talking about, especially when it comes to, you know, losing your community, losing your family, churches, and how they use power to control people. That's definitely a valid criticism. And a lot of religious people have doubts throughout their lives, even if they don't, and even if they remain in the church. So there's a lot of things that he said in there that resonated with people. And I thought that it's hard to explain. It was a very well written thread, and I think it's important that that we hear stories like this.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And by the way, hello, Shannon. I see that you're in the live chat and you just got out of the cab from the airport. So hope you're home safe.
She's been traveling.
Good. Yeah. She's a mess. Let me just say that. She's a mess. It was painful.
Did she get wrecked? Did, Did Texas run out of alcohol?
No, she actually did. She actually had to live. She actually had to put up with me a lot more than I had to put up with her. I will admit that. It was a good time, though. It was a lot of fun. Anybody that knows the Walmart story, don't make me come in there. You know what? If you want to, you can come on and be the in the big screen, and you can give us your take too. Dave didn't show up tonight, so just let Dave know if you want to do that. So now we're going to switch gears, and Casey's going to take us through these allegations, and only because I think that we need the entire story out there, and because to me, if I would have agreed to go on a show, and these allegations then hit the next day, and I knew that there wasn't anything to them, or that they weren't what people were saying that they were, I would use this opportunity to tell my side of the story, or at least answer any questions that have to do with it, or at least tell the show that I'm going on that I'm not going to be able to make it. That for whatever reason, not going to be here tonight. But that wasn't the case. So to me, that doesn't look good. Now, I'm not saying that means he's guilty, just saying it doesn't look good. So I think it's important that we get the entire story out there, and who knows if there's any truth to it or not, but you'll at least know the allegations.
Yeah, Casey? I don't know. So I was really excited about having him on here to tell his story. Like I said, I think it resonated with a lot of people, and I think it would resonate with a lot of people in the audience, especially after some of the calls that Kyle and I, that you and I got on Tuesday. There are people dealing with a whole lot of stuff related to religion and not being religious. And so I think it's important that we hear about this kind of stuff. But I woke up this morning and I had some messages from some people that had seen, that we were going to have him on the show. And it came as kind of a surprise to me and a disappointment, because I thought it was a good story. And it may still be a good story somewhat. However, there is a Facebook group that he was a part of called Exvangelicals. Is that what it's called, Kyle? Exvangelicals? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That apparently he got kicked out of. And so somebody in that group, and I don't know the names of any of these people, but somebody in that group messaged a moderator, and a moderator posted this message from them. And they said, I know you said, Dave, will you put up the first one, the one that's like two panels of a message? Yeah, that one. Okay, so it says, I know you said you were busy this week, and I'm so sorry to message you, but I didn't really know who else to message. I don't really know any of the admins. There's a post that came through about Megan Anderson. It was my screenshot of a tweet, my Dave Gass about spiritual abuse. Everyone was agreeing with it and saying how great he is and how they follow him on Twitter. I'm concerned because he's not. He grew up in the same cult I did. He was active in our survivors network until a year ago, maybe. It was discovered that he had been abusing his authority as a pastor and had groomed a woman and eventually slept with her. When it was discovered, he fled. He left his wife and daughters behind and stole so much money. They had nothing. He went dark. Police didn't do anything. Now he's back and pretending again, and I'm concerned. I'm concerned because multiple women in the evangelical group like him, and they just have no idea. I didn't know what to do about it, so I'm messaging you again. Sorry to bother you. So, I mean, there's a lot to unpack there. This person supposedly knows him, right? And, but here's the thing. So I went and I found, this is also posted on Twitter, and I found it from a mod in there where they posted this screenshot. And yeah, this one. So It says, I'm a mod in the ex-evangelical Facebook group, and we banned Dave from the group because we had received credible accusations of abuse. I know some of my mutuals have retweeted him recently, and I wanted you to be aware of the type of person he is. And that retweet includes the screenshot we just pulled up a minute ago. So it's interesting. I actually asked this person, Ms. Charlotte, I asked this person what makes the accusations credible. And I never did get a response from this person, because I was trying to find out, okay, well, if it's credible, is there some kind of evidence? Was there some kind of report or anything written from the church about it or whatever? And I never got any kind of response from them. Yeah, so that's the
first question I thought of too. Yeah.
Yeah. Because just because you say it's credible, right. that one screenshot of the message, I don't know who that person is. And I don't know if that person knows who that person is. And so, I mean, to me, is that credible? Maybe. Is it not? I don't know. Like,
it's an accusation. There needs to be, to say something is credible means you verified. Usually you have two more sources, right? For verification. If this person who tweeted this, Miss Charlotte, is her name? Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah, she was a mod in the group. But she might be just saying that the message she got, the instant message she got, was credible. She's just saying that's to her, that's credible. Or she might know the person and say that it's credible to her because she knows the person, or there is actual evidence out there. The problem is that us as outside people have no way of knowing any of this. This is why the first question that came to my mind when I read this as well for credible was the same question you asked. Well, what makes it credible?
And the thing is, too, it should be put out there that this is not in any way us making these allegations or saying that there's anything to these allegations. We're merely putting the entire story out there and what could be the reason why he didn't show up here tonight. Like I said a second ago, it could be that he just didn't want to, you know, deal with, or he thought that he was coming into an ambush or whatever the case. Case may be, but us telling you these things, don't get the wrong impression. We are not saying that there's anything to these allegations. We don't know. That's the thing. We do not know.
And we're not saying there's not something to them either, by the same token. We have no idea either way. Right. This is what I'm a little disappointed on. And at the very least, I think Dave should have just said, hey, things have come up. I don't think this is appropriate for me to go on right now. It's just too much stuff that to deal with. I'm sorry, but I have to cancel. None of us would have disrespected that. None of us would have thought twice about that. We get that. But to leave us hanging is a little bit disconcerting and troublesome.
So I read through this thread and the thread that's retweeted here that you can see on the screen. I also got information from other stuff, which I'm gonna show you guys too. And I had hoped to be able to ask him about this. Some of the stuff that is talked about kind of makes his timeline of his story a little difficult, because he talks in his story, which we kind of talked about before, that he lost his family and lost all this because of him leaving religion. And it doesn't necessarily seem like that's why. It seems like this was all kind of simultaneous, but there's accusation that he abused power. And that he had an affair with the woman apparently in his church was also married to someone else. So this, I think there's a lot more to the story, but if we go to the next one, the dark screen, Dave, the blue one, someone, and I don't know who, asked him about this. And basically, and sent him the screenshot that we looked at first and said, is this true? And he said, no, it's not even a little bit true. My ex-wife started a scorched earth policy with false rumors last year, and they continued to spread without anyone pausing for proof. No victims have come forward, only people who claim to speak for victims who don't exist. Nasty divorces are nasty. If I had embezzled money and fled, it would be a police issue. That's only one of 20 false rumors I have heard spread about me.
That sounds believable to me.
Yeah. Which is possible. It's possible that he could have, he, well, and we'll see later that he did admit that he had an affair. But it's possible that there's a lot of things that are spread about him that aren't true. But after I got this one, he locked his Twitter account. So, you know, made it private, which was a little strange, and then kind of went silent. So Dave, you want to go to the next one? So this person says, yes, he was my pastor when he walked away. He actually just slept with a married woman in the church and got caught. He never repented and they still live together. So then down a little further, it says, that puts a different light on the entire thread, to be sure. And the original person also said, last year, all the information came to light. The affair happened for almost a year before it was uncovered. So the whole I did everything right in my marriage part was kind of funny until I saw how many people liked his story.
Okay, to play devil's advocate for him, because he's not here. He might have, you know, said along the lines of, he was married for quite some time. What was it, like 20 years? I mean, he was in the church for 20 years, not married, but no, how long was he married for? I'm sorry. Do you remember?
He
was married
for quite some time, wasn't he?
Okay, so he might have said to himself that he worked on his marriage the way that, because you do have Bible, you know, marriage counseling, and you have these courses you have to go through and all this other stuff. And he was recognizing that none of this stuff was working, and that led him to having an affair, right? So it might have been still congruent with what he said in his initial tweet, that he did everything right for his marriage up to that point where he recognized his marriage was not working for him any longer. The whole Bible stuff was not working for him. The marriage counseling wasn't working for him, everything. Because he was told that he was supposed to have a blissful marriage. This was the narrative that was put out by whatever church he was in, is that you follow the precepts of the church, the commandments, and you will have a very happy marriage, right? This clearly wasn't the case. And to give a personal anecdotal story to this, it may be irrelevant, but it's kind of relevant to me. My very first love, my very first girlfriend I ever had in my entire life when I was like 16 or 17, madly in love with, right? She left me for a guy. They got married. They were married for 25 years in the Mormon church, supposed to be in the eternity and you know, married for sealed forever and happy. They got divorced like 2 years ago. And it damaged her to no end. He was just abusive, narcissistic, just really, really horrible to her. And it changed her entire perspective on life. She's just not the same person that I was in love with, but it was the same kind of thing. As they were told, or she was told her entire life in the Mormon church, you're sealed for eternity. You're going to have a blissful relationship, happy marriage. That wasn't the case. It never was ever happy in her entire marriage. So I can at least relate from that to this guy's story, that he was fed a story that just wasn't the case. And maybe he cheated for that reason. So, I mean, I can't speak for the guy. He's not here, but there are other things possible. I mean, there's a lot going on here.
There are pieces to this that are like taken by themselves. No concern, like the affair part. I don't really care about that aspect of it, because the only angle that I was concerned about is his deconversion story, and whatever happened in their marriage is between them. The thing that can be said about that, though, is that if that doesn't match up with what he said in his tweet, that long tweet that I read, if there's no mention to that, if he's making it seem like Casey said that he lost people when he deconverted, but the real story is that those people were lost due to other storm, you know, this, the affair, or other some sort of event that happened. Then that raises an eyebrow. I'm concerned about, you know, if the totality of all of these things, if the theft part is true, if you know, that whatever happened with the there's some people saying that he was grooming, and there's an abuse of power allegation being thrown out there.
If he did have an affair with a woman in his congregation, that is an abuse of power. The grooming thing, I don't know about, but when you're a pastor of a church, you're in a position of authority. And when you have a sexual relationship with a member of your church, a member of your congregation, that is an abuse of power. Absolutely. Maybe. Could have been
Maybe.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, I agree with her on that. I mean, it clearly is an abuse of power, but there's just some egregious levels of abuse of power.
I think of it like this. If he wasn't using like his pastoral position over her, like it could be they organically like met somewhere and were talking and they both kind of fell for each other. It had nothing to do whether he'd have been in the pastor or not. Now, I think if he brought her into his study and said, you know, I'm the pastor here and was sort of using that over her head, then yeah, that'd be an abuse of power. I just don't.
Yeah, but there's always an implied power relationship between a pastor and people of the clergy and their ministry. I mean, I'm not saying that people can't have relationships, but there always is that implicit a power to be had there. So as Casey said, I think that is definitely a case to be made that he was in a position of power and might be abuse of power. Maybe. But was it egregious? That's a different thing. I mean, we all have people. Yeah. So, I mean, again, a lot of complexity to this particular story.
Yeah, it's really nuanced. And it was likely, from what I understand, a completely consensual relationship. So, but it's still, even consensual, there are abuses of power when you're in a position like that. You just don't, there's just things you don't necessarily, that you shouldn't do. Pastor Locke had also did this. He was married, Pastor Greg Locke in Tennessee. I'm sure most of you have heard of him.
Papa Locke.
Yeah. He was married, had kids, had an affair with a woman that worked in his office who was a member of his church. And they are now married.
Do you think it was worse because she was married? I mean, if he was a pastor and she was just a member of the congregation and they had a thing for each other and they let people know, hey, you know what? People would be like, hey, you know what? This is a perfect, you know, mate for you for the pastor. People were actually making it happen. That's not an abuse of power at that point. I mean, right. If people know about it and these things do happen too. But I think that in the situation here, it was more specific that she was married.
They were both married.
So it's a different situation, right?
Yeah. If we go to the next one, Dave. So after he locked his account down, and there were throughout these threads, there were a lot of people that were tagging him. So it's not like this is happening and this guy does, and Dave doesn't know about it. So he said, I had an affair with an adult female, and that was part of the equation for leaving the ministry and losing everything. The other rumors being spread about me are false. I continue to seek employment to support my children. I apologize for my actions and for not disclosing this earlier. Everything in my thread about leaving Christianity, the condition of my marriage, and the things I have seen in the church are true. And I hope that this is still helpful to people. I know my decisions have hurt many people, most of all my children, and for that I'm deeply sorry.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a backtrack from earlier. Right?
Yeah.
What exactly did he say earlier? What was his... when this allegation came up earlier, did he denied it?
No, I didn't see anything where he denied. I never saw anything where he denied anything.
Okay.
I mean, perhaps he did, but I didn't see that. Of course, there were a lot of tweets going around today.
Right. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. This has gotten like, thousands of responses on Twitter. Yeah. Like every time I pulled out my phone, there was somebody going, this is my takeaway from it. I think maybe he feels a little overwhelmed right now. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. I think people are human and they make mistakes, and he made a mistake in this situation. Probably wouldn't do it again if he could go back and have the opportunity. But I think he's now feeling the heat sort of from all kinds of different directions, not only from theists who are angry that he's no longer believes in God, and from people trying to accuse him of the abuse of power thing and the money situation, with none of it's been substantiated. And so until that happens, I'm going to just give him the benefit of the doubt that he's didn't show up tonight because he's just overwhelmed and doesn't know how to handle it.
Go ahead, Steve. Real quick,
I just got a tweet from somebody who had said to me on the Dave thing that is worth noting that, and I'm not going to mention this other person's name, but somebody else received similar accusations when they left his faith, which made me pointed out that when people lose their faith, accusations fly, especially from the church. I've seen it happen before with other people as well. Yeah.
It's almost like a backlash. It's a shunning effect. Like they want to do everything they can to ruin you because you're an apostate now, basically.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And so we really have to be wary of these accusations and take them in context.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't seen or been provided, though I asked if there was any evidence. I haven't gotten any answers about that at all. So I don't know what the truth is here, except for what he admitted to in regards to the affair. And, you know, he's an adult person. He clearly made mistakes. But it doesn't delegitimize his entire story. But I think I understand where some people are coming from. When it makes them skeptical, you know, about his story. I understand where some people are coming from in that regard. In addition, in addition to this, before we came on, but not long before we came on air, I got a message with a, do you want to watch the video, Kyle? It's less than 2 minutes. Do you want to just watch the video about the Aslan House?
We can watch a few seconds of it. I don't want to watch the whole thing just in case. I don't want to get
okay. With... Well, so I have tried to find additional information about this this GoFundMe that was sent to me that's been around for about 4 years. And the goal was, it's called the Aslan House Project. And Dave Gass and his wife and his children lived in this house. They bought it and they were asking for $15,000. They got $10,785 for this house. And it was supposed to be used for church offices, counseling center, shelter for those in need, a community gathering location, core team meeting space, a small group meeting space, and a base for hospitality. So they kind of give the list of what they want to go through and what they're going to use the money for. But I can't find anything about this place anywhere. There's a Facebook page, but it's completely blank. There's no website for it. So I was going to ask him about this when he came on, like, did you take these funds? What did you do with them? Is this house still in, you know, just to ask him about what was going on with it. But he did a YouTube video, about it, about buying the house and living there and such. So I'm not really sure what happened with that, but.
Interesting question. Dave, do you want to play a few minutes of the video?
Welcome to the Aslan House. God has provided this house for us here in downtown Lee's Summit. And our family is going to be living here and also headquartering here for the church plant. Now our job is to turn this house into a home. Lord willing, we believe in faith that people will come to know Jesus here in this house. We're going to do marital counseling and premarital counseling. This will be a safe place for people to stay to escape dangerous situations. This is where the church offices will be. This is where we'll be having core team meetings. This is where we'll be having gospel community meetings, as well as being a place of hospitality for our community to come and gather here together. I'd like to invite you to be a part of the vision of planting a church here in downtown Lee's Summit. We've got a long list of things we need to accomplish before this house
Dave,
is ready to be
admitted. Go down towards the end of the video. Let's see if there's any...
I think it's probably just showing the project, like the different things they want to work on.
Interesting question. What do they do with it now?
Yeah, so I don't know whatever came of that. I don't know whatever came of that.
Well, you know, I think that I don't know. I don't know what you do in this situation where the people that donated for the house think that it's going to be used for one thing, and now it's apparently not going to. I don't know if there's anything you can do in that situation. It's just
Yeah, I don't know. And again, like I said, this was brought to us right before the stream. So I tried to find some additional information about it and really didn't have much luck, but I also didn't have a lot of time to look into it. So it was just something I was going to ask him about to see whatever happened with that, especially given that he raised almost $11,000 on GoFundMe.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like when you do that, and not that he owes me an explanation about it, but I feel like you have to answer to that money when you raise it publicly, I think, like that.
Sure. I don't want this to, and this shouldn't, these accusations, because that's all they are right now. We don't have any way to substantiate any of it currently. It shouldn't take away from the overall message of his tweet, I don't think.
Right.
The overall message of his tweet still stands, in spite of these accusations, as a accurate and well put together almost like a narrative of how religion is, like the way it actually is. And this is coming from the eyes of somebody that used to be a pastor. I think everybody that used to be religious it resonates with them there, that this, what he is saying is exactly what we saw. We felt the problems that we noticed when we were in it and what ultimately made us leave. So it shouldn't take away from the overall power of that message, because that stands whether these accusations are true or not.
I agree. It would be very disappointing if some of these, especially stealing money and things like that, that would be very disappointing. But the stuff about abuses in the church and things like that, that's stuff that a lot of people accuse the Catholic Church of a lot of things, and they're not wrong. But within Protestant churches and evangelical churches, there is a lot of fraud and there is a lot of abuse of power. There's a lot of abuse in general. And so it's good to, from when someone from the inside of that realizes what's going on, leaves, and then talks about it. And I know one of the questions that somebody was, Cyrus, actually, I think it was Cyrus, the skeptic, that sent me a question to ask, to ask him if he'd ever consider doing YouTube or any other kind of activism related to, you know, leaving and deconverting and things like that. So I'm sorry, Cyrus, if you're still, and I saw you earlier, if you're still here, I'm sorry I didn't get to ask that. But it's important to have these voices in the community, because former pastors have been in a place where regular religious people haven't necessarily been.
Mm-hmm. Totally agreed.
Yeah. So even if these accusations are true, I don't see how it really diminishes from his deconversion story. I honestly don't. Now, granted, you know, they're sucky if they do, and he's just probably not an ethical person. I mean, he cheated on his wife, so his efficacy is kind of in question to begin with, but that doesn't mean that he didn't have a legit deconversion story. I don't think that they're mutually exclusive from each other, from the fact that either these accusations are true or they're not true. Completely seemingly to me irrelevant to why he left the church in a deconversion story, which probably I think are intricately related to some, in some ways, that he had problems with the church leading to these transgressions of some sort. I don't see how that isn't plausible.
Yeah, he said his doubts started in his childhood. So, I mean, he just kind of pushed them away, which a lot of religious people do, you know, push their doubts away because they're afraid, because, you know, church, religion is generally, the way that they keep power over people is they make them afraid of hell and whatever is going to befall them if they don't behave.
Shunning. I will say this, Dave, if you were watching or you see this, we would love to reschedule a time to talk with you. We want to hear about your story, and if you want to speak to these allegations, then you can certainly do so at that time as well. But the offer is still up, should you decide that you want to take us up on that. If you don't, you just want to kind of get out of the middle of the spotlight, so to speak. I understand that as well. Do whatever's more beneficial to you. I understand that. But if you want to, then that opportunity is here. Steve, did our friend Corey ever respond?
He did not. I messaged him on Facebook. I sent him an instant message. I said, link has been provided to him by instant message. I told him we were live. Nope. Because he said, send me the link. I'll hear the show called Show, and never heard back from him.
So called Show. Well, we're going to, Corey, we're adding you to the bitch list. It's official. Dave, carve his name in. Okay. So what we'll do now is we'll take a couple of calls. If you want to, if you have any comments on this, or if you want to ask us any questions, or you just want to bitch at Steve, you can do that by calling 1-818. Is it 923, Dave?
921-3838.
I can never remember the number. You don't have to remember numbers anymore.
And before they do that, I have some depressing news if people have not been aware of this, if you guys don't mind. Just a few hours ago, I guess it was made public. Yeah. Peter Mayhew, the guy that played Chewbacca in Star Wars, passed away. It's age 74 today. Which is really depressing because, you know, I remember when Star Wars first came out, I actually was at the movie theater, which played on this big screen. It was like 70-something millimeters, like in the old school. It was like 1978, I believe it was. And we were in, I think it was San Diego movie theater watching that. And so he's been around for a long time. But yeah, Peter Mayhew, who played Chewbacca, passed away.
So this is for you, Pete. You ready?
I'm not doing that. Y'all can fuck off.
Dave will do it for you. Dave's a pretty hairy guy. He'll do it for all of us.
GE,
right,
do you
want to
come over here and do Chewbacca?
Give us a call, 1-818.
Yeah, GE probably do a damn good job at it, couldn't he?
921-3838.
Hey, John. Yeah. Are you alive over there?
Yeah.
Do a morning cry.
The guys just did Chewbacca because the guy died, but I wouldn't do Chewbacca. Do you want to come do Chewbacca?
I can't do Chewbacca.
You can't do Chewbacca?
I'll try.
Oh, honey, that was...
Sounds like Chewbacca with a stroke. It's like Chewbacca had a stroke.
Wait, you're a Puerto Rican that can't roll his R's? What's up with that?
I just thought...
Roll your tongue. Dave, do we have a caller?
Nope.
Go on, no one's calling. Really?
No one's, like, literally no one's calling. I just loaded up
Skype. Everybody's content. Everybody's happy.
We're getting one now. Hold on.
No complaints about the show, right? That's what it is? Wow.
Perfect. Well, we can go home. All right.
Yeah.
That was the first thing we got yesterday.
We got one. I just got to bring him in. Hold on. Hold on, speaker. Let me get you in here.
Oh, we're getting calls now. I can see the backup lines.
Caller.
Hello, caller.
Hey, how's it going?
Who are we speaking with?
Going?
Pretty good. Been watching you guys for a long time. So.
What's your name?
But on that, I know KC. I'm one of the subscribers for GE, so I just thought I'd call and say hi.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Your name.
Oh, I'm JC.
JC.
Oh, hi, JC.
Okay. Yeah, I'm the crazy guy that usually posts on there. Some weirdo wacko jokes.
That's all right.
So what's going on, JC? Well,
no, I had some questions. You guys were talking about religion and stuff, and I recently became an atheist, and I had been a pagan for a really long time. And basically, I just wanted to know what your guys' horror stories were for this. I mean, because it was a scary process for me.
Are you the Von Helton type pagan or the Ocean type pagan?
Just Wiccan, I was.
Okay. Now, when you say horror stories, you mean with deconverting or within religion?
Well, with deconverting, because it took me a while, and for a long time I had been watching like GE and whole bunch of others. And at first I was like, oh my God, they're attacking Christians. That's fucking wonderful. And then as they progressively gave their information, I I sort of went through a crisis to where I started questioning what my own beliefs were. And I sort of panicked for a while because I began to realize that, you know, what they had been saying and how science works and everything like that essentially threw my entire belief right out the window.
I know exactly what you mean. I had I watched an Arn video at a youth group one night, and it was him on the Atheist Experience, and he was talking about slavery in the Bible. And I remember saying to myself there that night, slavery is not in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. If it had been, I would have known about it by now. And I went home that night, and I pulled back that video back up, and I went to the verses he was talking about, and it absolutely was in the Bible. And
Everywhere, Kyle.
But if I know, because Casey and GE have been reading the Bible, and I've been listening to them, and that was another thing that ended up pushing me off the edge.
Sure, but if you think about it, there's a reason why you don't, as a Christian, you don't hear about that. No one's going to get up on the pulpit on Sunday and talk about how God condones slavery, or how there's these stories, like the general that, what was his name? Steve.
Jephthah.
Her name, Jephthah?
Jephthah.
Yeah, Jephthah.
Jephthah.
Steve talks about that sometimes too. If God would let him win the war, he'd sacrifice the first person that come through the door. God knowing it was going to be his daughter, and he kills his daughter.
Well,
you don't hear about those things on Sunday. So once Arn opened that door for me, the floodgates opened. I binged on him and Matt Dillahunty videos and Christopher Hitchens. And after a week's time, there's no way I could honestly say, like, that next Sunday, completely different sitting in those pews. Completely different. I was scared.
I don't remember. I don't remember unicorn being mentioned in the Bible when I was growing up. I only found that out later on, too. I honestly cannot say that I recall ever thinking the word unicorn was in the Bible. Not once, but I think twice. In Psalms and something else.
Well, Catholics have dragons.
What I mean is just that basically with all of that and what I had been learning, I was already I would have called myself more of a technocratic believer of Wiccan, where I still believed in the actual religion itself, but science and its principles were usually always at top first. Because before I started losing my own faith in religion itself, my family were devout Catholics. And I was raised up with that idealism in my head. I wouldn't even call it idealism, more like a perpetual mental slavery, really.
So you had to deconvert twice, actually. Once from
JC.
Well, it's because when I had become a pagan, I did not even know what an atheist was. I had no clue what they were. In fact, I didn't even hear about them, to be very honest, until only about 4 or 5 years ago. And I know that sounds really weird, but I had no idea what they were about. And at that time, when I was leaving Catholicism, I had no real idea of where to turn, and I still wanted that feeling of community, but I couldn't accept what was being taught in the church at the time, because it just seemed like a consistent cult of mass murder and death to me. And so that's why I went over to Wicca, because it continuously spoke of, you know, how life is supposedly everything in the universe is connected to that, and we should be striving to protect it.
Sure. But Wicca generally believes in multiple gods, right? So you're polytheist, so it wasn't like you not just did you give up one god, you had to give up multiple gods. That must have been, you know, even worse.
Actually, I was terrified out of my mind. And I will admit that full-heartedly. In fact, I almost had a breakdown over it.
Now, how do you feel?
Now,
I know that seems really, really silly, but it was.
No, it doesn't.
It was because then there was a lingering fear afterwards that, you know, what if I'm wrong? What if all of this is wrong and I'm going to end up being punished for it? And I don't think a lot of people realize how horrifying that feeling is until you finally realize that wait, that's fucking stupid.
But a lot of people do. A lot of people do have that feeling. It is a horrifying mm-hmm. feeling, and that's how mm-hmm. that's how religion keeps people, because people fear the eternal damnation, and people are scared. Well, what if I'm wrong? And you know, what if I'm wrong and I really should be doing these things and I'm not, then I'm going to go to hell and be punished. And so that's what keeps a lot of people roped in. So it's not silly at all.
People are putting lyrics
to Losing My Religion from REM in the live chat, and it is something epic. I think that's how they're supporting you, JC.
They're putting
the lyrics to REM's Losing My Religion in the chat. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, after letting all that go, and finally realizing that I'm not going to be burning in some forever eternal, you know, upside down world where pineapples will be shoved so far up my bum that I'm going to be feeling it to next Tuesday. But
what the hell are you talking? Wait a minute.
That's a little Nikki hell. No, little Nikki, where was that Hitler?
It's the reference Eternity I had stuck in my head, thanks to Arn Raw. So.
No, that's from Little Nicky with Adam Sandler.
To me, that doesn't sound too much like hell. That could be construed as heaven.
Pineapples, dude. Well, pineapples.
The way I look at it, I was basically, when I had started this whole process, I actually started this while I was researching and looking into black holes and M-theory, because I was a fanatic in terms of finding out anything I could about our current cosmos, because thankfully, you know, Carl Sagan, I had a lot of that as a child, so I kind of became a science fanatic. And so I pushed on, but scientist. I was still part of religion at that time. And basically, when I was looking all that stuff up, that's when I accidentally found GE and KC on their sites, because they were battling Flat Earth. And then a little while afterwards, I started watching that. And this is when everything started really going on a ton.
Aren't you glad you found them, though?
Oh, yeah. No, trust me, I feel so much better than I ever have in years now that I don't have that pressing on me. No, you have no idea. I mean, at first it was a terrifying thought, but now it's just, it's more or less I'm trying to figure out ways that I can at least, you know, help out other people. And so what I was wanting to know was those horror stories to show some people who might be on that fence like I was, who really wasn't devout enough to be like an apologetic, but might be on that fence and not sure what to do. And so by having like horror stories like this, it seems all bad, but what they could do to combat it, what they could do to maybe push them over.
Tell them your story.
Help them out to realize that it's not a nightmarish thing that they should avoid.
Tell them your story and tell them about the creators that helped you, like KC and GE. Send them, point them in that direction. Point them in the direction of things that they can watch and see how to strengthen their arguments, or with people that have been through the same thing that they've been through. Your story too will, I'm sure, inspire a lot of people. And when you say, you know, you weren't somebody that was devout enough to be an apologist, that's not most people. That's not the majority of people who are, you know, it's going to be people like you, who was you believed in God. You didn't necessarily, you weren't there every time the church doors were open, but you believed. And then you went through the scary phase of realizing that things might not be the way that it's laid out to us, as you know, we're told in the church. And then you transitioned over, and with the help of GE and KC and other creators like that, you were able to come out on top and even clearer in the end. I think that's perfect.
Well, I guess it was, too many years were spent wasted on trying to get some imaginary dude in my head to make them appear, because, you know, all the other people, even in the elementary school I went to, and even through high school, everybody, you know, was speaking to God of some sort, and I couldn't understand why I could never hear it or see it. What did that, I'm walking with him, or, I speak to him every time, and I'm like, well, how come I'm not experiencing this? What makes you special, more special than me? I give alms to the church. I go out and help the church with its community events. I go out and donate. I go out and give charity, and I even go out to soup kitchens, and I still wasn't getting that. And I was like, maybe I'm really, really, you know, screwed up to the point where I'm unworthy or something like that. And that's the feeling I got all the time.
I actually taught RCIA for the Catholic Church, which is basically catechism. So you're trying so hard to find a way to get to connect. You're trying to find any way to connect, and it just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And
I
don't want to take up too much of your guys' time because I know you probably got other callers that want to get on. And I just
we do, but Casey wants to say Casey wants to say one final thing to you.
I had a similar experience to that in regards to just not feeling the things I thought I was supposed to feel and feeling like I was missing something or I was a bad person, even though I was doing all the things that I thought I should do. And so I totally understand where you're coming from. And actually finding the Godless Engineer Facebook page is what made me feel not so alone and like there wasn't something wrong with me. I didn't know John at the time. And so finding that, and that there were people out there that thought like I did, or, you know, had that there was nothing wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with them or you or anybody else who wasn't religious. We just didn't believe, and that was okay. And so honestly, the Godless Engineer community for me, this was before Godless Engineer had YouTube or anything like that. This was just when there was a Facebook page, and it was a very small Facebook page then. But it does really mean a lot to hear that it makes a difference to other people what we do. Do you want to say hi to GE? Hey, John.
Sure. Hey, what's up, dude?
He's on the
call. All the way from...
Hey, man. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man? Well, I hope you guys continue to do really well out there. And thanks for helping people like me who are too poor to also afford an education, at least help us learn a lot of scientific facts, and I appreciate that.
Oh, you know, I try to do my best.
It all comes back to flat earth, doesn't it? Always.
Right. It all comes back to flat earth.
All flat earth.
Well, yeah, exactly. I'm sorry, but man, I just got my Jaronism T-shirt and YC bitch made, so I'm pretty happy with that right now.
Excellent. Thank you for the call, man. That was really great hearing your story, and congratulations to you, and best of luck to you.
Yeah, thanks, man. Sorry that I'm a little nervous. I'm kind of introverted, so it's a little weird.
You did great. No, you did great.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
It was fantastic.
All right, thanks, you guys. All
right. Have a good one. Yeah, people like that call too. Good deal. It's always nice hearing something like that, isn't it?
It is. It really means a lot because it takes a lot of effort. It's a lot of work outside of just the videos that go out or the live streams that happen. Like this takes a lot of effort in your life. And so hearing that it makes a difference really means a lot.
I believe just before we take the next call, there was a former nun in the audience, and she said she said, hold on, let me find it.
Oh my God. She says, have a nun.
She says, I was a nun at a homeless shelter. I volunteered who forced starving homeless people to listen to prayer before they could get food, complained and was told to leave and never come back.
It's ridiculous. Just feed people. Like, I don't know why it has to be about you. Like, just feed the people.
Yeah. All right. The caller.
I thought you were growing up too.
Who are we speaking with?
The caller. Hey, Kyle and Caitlin and Steve, I guess you're here too. I don't know that you're talking here. I can't see you anymore because Susan made me leave the room because I have the audio turned up. So I had to.
It's Nathaniel Walters.
Oh, hey.
Yes. Oh, my God. Oh, man. Now somebody's going to
know. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sorry, go ahead.
Hold on. Susan's yelling in the background. She's not yelling, she's laughing.
We will not have that treasonous Susan on this show. How dare her?
She said she will fight you.
If treasonous. You guys don't know, If you don't know, Nathaniel and Susan have a new podcast out. You want to tell them about it? Go ahead, pitch it. I liked it. I watched it last night. It was good.
I was not coming on for that. Thank you. It's called Divine Disbelief. So it's the same Twitter handle as on YouTube and stuff. We come on twice a week and at the exact same time as Non Sequitur Show, obviously. We take their viewer, no, not even close, on Wednesdays and Sundays, and we talk about secular news, and we bring on and talk with some folks that are on YouTube that maybe not don't have a channel this large, and also like on Twitter and stuff like that that are that have, you know, secular points of view and stuff, and really talk to them. And we, yeah, it just started yesterday, and it's we're really excited about it because we really don't feel like the secular worldview really gets as far as news and equality and stuff like that, like except for on Fox News where you can have a full religion section and they make fun of us a lot. So we do it the other way around. And we say, this is what the actual secular news is. We talk about how we can and are making a difference. And that's, it's a lot of fun.
Susan, I'm putting up an image. Dave is putting up an image on the screen right now of your treason. Dave.
Oh,
I am trying to dig it up, Kyle. I'm not sure exactly where it is and all this stuff.
It's in the folder marked Dad.
Makes perfect sense then.
It's so much easier to come in and like watch like GE stuff and watch like Arn Raw and the Atheist Experience and stuff. Back when like I was a youth pastor and became an atheist, I had to read books and stuff. I mean, it's like lazy atheism.
Nathaniel, look at this. Susan,
we read books. Hold on.
I need you to understand that when I told the story the other day about at Faithless Forum, and I was called out by the person that I was interviewing for the gnome thing. This was Susan. She picked out this gnome.
Susan did pick out the gnome thing.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was Photoshop. No, that was a real thing you were wearing.
Yes.
No, she picked out. She picked out the gnome thing.
Photoshop for some reason. I totally thought it was Photoshop.
No, we had to pick costume. Okay. For her. She picked out. Yeah, she got the. It was Susan. By the way, Susan. Let me know if Pam ever responded. Steve, you remember Pam, right? We love Pam Whistle.
Pam Whistle from American Atheist. Yeah, of course. How did I forget her?
We love Pam. So we're going to get Susan and Pam. All right, Nathaniel, what were you going to say, sir?
Yeah, sorry. We got totally off track.
I was going to say, it's okay. I enjoyed this. Thank you very much. And hi again, Kyle. It's good to talk to you again. I was not wearing nearly as amazing of socks as we were wearing on Saturday, so I apologize for that today. I will make it up to you tomorrow, I promise.
He was sitting beside me and saw my socks. There was no other instance to where he got a really good look at my socks. I don't want Susan, there's no need for you to get upset. Nothing like that happened. He was just sitting beside of me and saw my socks. Go ahead.
Susan was there, so we're good. But I was, I, you know, and Kyle and Casey and stuff, we've actually, you know, kind of spoken about this, especially about Dave a little bit. Dave's story kind of like really endeared to me a little bit because, I was a youth pastor, and I found out, by the way, if I want to get 10,000 Twitter followers, all I have to do is just like live tweet my blog post about leaving Christianity. That's easy to do. Mm-hmm. Gosh. Yeah. Part of it, though, were things that I don't know. Whenever I was a Christian, I never had like his ideas, and I don't. It's difficult for me to really kind of really feel the way that others do about his story of his journey and stuff, because I never had doubts about it. Like, so he said the whole time he was living and everything, he had like these doubts and didn't see anything supernatural and stuff. But I don't know that that's the case for. Like me, I was one of 280 million people in the world that are part of a Pentecostal denomination and who truly believe these things. And in fact, went to church for me where I started my ministry, not my ministry, but in the ministry was in Kansas City. So I may have met Dave at one point. And it really didn't resonate for me that way because
so you never wavered in your faith?
Believed these things.
You never had a moment of crisis. You never wavered in your faith, never had a moment of crisis until obviously there had to be some point. Cause that's when you stopped believing and you no longer, you know, we're Christian or whatever denomination you were, but up to that point between, you know, when you first became a believer and when you left the faith, there was no, at any time you didn't question it.
Well, that's actually, I could actually kind of tell this story whenever people ask me and we're doing like a live stream or something. And it always comes down to the fact that whenever I went back to college and I realized that the only thing in my entire life that I took on faith was Christianity, you know, and was my faith, if you will. And there wasn't anything that happened. I just started researching it. And because I wanted to, you know, I wanted to be able to, whatever 1st, 2nd Timothy says, I forget now, you know, provide a reason for my belief. And then I found out that the good news is that, like, you know, Islam is, you know, Islam, and there's nothing to that. And there's nothing to, like, as far as I can tell, like all the Hindu stuff, and there's nothing to all these other religions, but the same thing applied to Christianity. And at that point, I wasn't a youth pastor anymore. I had left the position and for some other reasons that don't have to do with me cheating on my wife because I've never been married. So there's that. But I, you know, ended up figuring out, and I think that I knew before I accepted it, which was the hardest thing I've ever done in my entire life. I knew before I accepted it that I was an atheist. But it was completely different for me because I could not have, and I'm not speaking, it sounds like to me like I couldn't have done what he did, like, especially with like the, you know, the Aslan House and things like that. And like making these ministry things and being part of like mega churches or something, which I don't know if he was or not. I can't find him anywhere on the internet. And still say that I doubted the entire time. I just could never do that. I don't mean to like sound like I'm demeaning him or something, but I truly believed all these things. And his story, his journey out of it kind of does speak partially because it has to do with like the reason that I left had to do with because I realized that it was all about money and it was all about, you know, putting people like in the seats and nothing else. Like the message mattered less than getting money to make sure the church stayed open type thing. And I found that was the reason that I left. It was really part of that really didn't, I wanted to talk to him, you know, in with Susan and I on and stuff. And, you know, at some point, I enjoy going back to Kansas City and sit down and talk to him and kind of talk about that kind of stuff because people ask me a lot, how I feel about the people I led to Christ, you know, the young mm-hmm. people or my older brother, even. My older brother is a conservative Christian now because of me. Mm-hmm. And people ask me if I feel bad about that. Well, no, I don't feel bad that I led people to Christ. Yeah, it's especially because he's a Trump supporter too. That part I don't know that I can tell.
Oh yes, but, yes. Now you definitely should feel bad.
Yeah, you crossed the line. You're going to hell, bitch. You're done.
Jesus,
you're done.
Is one, you're Jesus is one yeah. thing. Trump.
There is no forgiveness for you in any way, shape, or form.
Collusion.
Collusion.
Total collusion, Nathaniel. Total collusion.
But But I will tell you that I've never felt bad about that. About telling people what I believed was true and telling it to them in love and telling them about, cause I believed in Jesus. I believed in these supernatural events and I've never felt bad about that. This gentleman, and I would love to talk to him about this too, because if he doubted this, there's a fair amount of dishonesty that exists. If I doubt something such as this to even a small degree, am I really telling people what I believe is true? And to me, that actually hurts me because of how much it hurts people. Consider this, of how much it hurts people that are brought into this by somebody who may not even believe it themselves, and that are told that they're nothing but filthy rags, and that are told that they're a young lady, that their body is a temple, and that if they do anything, that the demeaning ideologies involved in monotheism, specifically in our version of evangelical American Christianity, it literally kills people. And to have somebody who is led into this dishonestly, I would like to talk to him about that, because that hurts me as a person who did this out of love and honesty and respect.
It's an interesting point, for sure. Good question. If he did doubt his entire life, why? How was he able to do this? And does he feel bad? Very good question.
Yeah, I've
heard similar stories about other pastors who they keep doing it, even though they don't believe anymore. Ones that fall out of faith is kind of the phrase. And they keep doing their pastoral work because that's their job and that's all they know how to do. And that's what they get. That's their livelihood. So there's people that keep doing it that don't believe. And there's people like that everywhere.
I respect them a lot less than I respect my friend Ben, who is a leader in a church in Kansas City, who I've been in contact with very recently, or my friend Dave, and they're both in Kansas City. They believe what they're saying is true. And there's a reason whenever I look at the American religious right today, and maybe it's because I was inside of this bubble with such amazing people that I never saw this hate and stuff like this and this type of dishonesty. And that may be why, Ben is an amazing guy. Ben Avila, A-B-I-L-A, you can look him up. He's great. He's up in Kansas City. And whenever I go there, he knows I'm an atheist and we still hang out. And I respect him 1,000% more than I can anybody who's teaching this stuff but doesn't believe it's true.
I agree with you. Nathaniel, there's a more pressing issue that we need to take care of right now. By the way, guys, I see that the calls are like won't stop coming in. Every second my phone's going off. We will take one more. Call. So, no, you're good. I'm just letting them know we're going to take one more call before, so maybe that'll quell down on some of the back-to-back calling. You have to do your Chewbacca impression.
Mm-hmm. Oh dear God! Only if I think Susan's going to do one as well. Susan, you have to come out here and do. She's in there. She's in the bedroom laughing. No, Susan, you have to come out here.
We're gonna let that trainer do it. Okay, fine.
All right, I'll do one.
Whenever you're ready,
Susan, come out here and you. Susan, come here. She said no. Okay, fine. By the way, Susan, if you don't know, Susan is a huge, not just a Star Wars fan, but a Peter Mayhew fan. We were going to see him this weekend here in Dallas. And so this thing, you know, with him passing away at the end of April, it really, really hits her hard. And so, with me, a couple of years ago whenever Chester Bennington committed suicide, was like one of like my heroes that passed away. And so with Susan now, it really hits her hard. And so with this, I feel like if I do a horrible job of this impersonation, she has every right to like come and kick my ass. But okay, fine. Just only because you want me to, babe. I wouldn't do it because Kyle wants me to. Fine. Close the door. You're going to hear it 7 times. Fine. okay. Oh, nope. That was really bad. I can't do it.
I don't know how you can do it bad. It's just, I don't, Well,
that was not. It didn't sound like anything I'd ever done recently. Like, I'm so sorry, babe. That didn't sound like mine at all. I don't know why it doesn't work anymore. Yeah. It's a sad Chewbacca. Sad Chewie.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? You're getting a not bad. That's not bad. Not bad. Nailed it. So I think you did. Sounded better than me. So you did good, I think. Nathaniel, thank you for we're gonna take one more call, but thank you for calling in. And Susan, I still don't know about you.
And I'll see you guys on Sunday on your podcast at 7:30 Central. Mm-hmm. Divine Disbelief.
Yeah, Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sunday. Neil, the 604 Atheist, is gonna be on. So thanks.
Oh, cool.
Awesome. I love him. He's great.
Very cool.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Well, Nathaniel.
Bye.
Check out their podcast,
Divine Disbelief.
Divine Disbelief. I was getting ready to say divine. Never mind. My mind's not with me today. Divine Disbelief, not Divine Doubt. Right. Which, by the way, just real quick, whatever happened with Brilliant Doubt?
Oh, well, so Brilliant Doubt, that is a really sad story because, like, I love Brilliant Doubt. This is a creator. Yeah, a creator who came to Faithless Forum last year and made great videos, like was just starting out, but his videos were exceptional. I think he got busy. I think he got busy with school and some other things. And so just life priorities took over. And I mean, I hope someday he comes back to our community and back to contributing, because he made this really great video. My favorite one is when he did the cereal. Did you watch the cereal video?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love that one.
We had him on the day after he made that, released that video. And I was looking other day because I was thinking, whatever happened to him? And he's taking every video that he had up there down. They're not up there anymore.
Them down?
Yeah.
So the last I heard, because the last I heard from him was last summer, this past summer, because it was after Faithless Forum, and then he kind of like went away, and everybody was like, "Where is he? Is he alive? Like, what happened to him?" And so I finally somebody got a hold of him, and he was doing the school thing, and I didn't know he had taken all of his videos down.
He was so cute too. So cute.
I know.
All right.
And so hyper. So yeah, hyper. Without coffee. Like, he was fun. I liked it.
Caller, you will be the last caller that we have tonight. So no pressure to make it good.
Well, actually, Kyle, I wanted to be a contrarian again and actually argue something that's going to be really unpopular.
Oh,
Macabre Malefica.
What's your name first?
Ready again.
What's
How's it going?
First? It's Macabre.
What's your name? Macabre.
Macabre.
Okay.
Macabre. Okay. I am irreligious. I went to Catholic school. I'm quite well versed in the Bible, and you know, being 30 and having grown up with the internet, quite well aware of what religiosity has done to American society. But I think I've come to the conclusion that Western society needs more religion.
Why?
Well, are you familiar with Piaget, the father of the father of developmental psychology?
No.
No.
Okay. Piaget, after working with children throughout his entire professional career, developed a way in which to evaluate at what point in a child's life they develop a sense of morality. And this is knowledge from 10 years ago, so if anyone listening wants to correct me, feel free. But I believe it was 5 stages of ethical development in a child. The 5th stage was the ability to want to do the right thing, not for fear of the consequence, but because it was the right thing. And he concluded that most people are incapable of reaching the stage where they want to do good for goodness sake, as opposed to doing good because they don't want to get punished.
And how did he religion come to help out with that?
Because that's idiotic as fuck.
Yeah, you think religion would help with that?
Well, this is the point. I think that there is a certain proportion of all society that is drawn towards a puritanical sort of perspective on life, where they require a perennial father, a perennial authority to prescribe to them exactly what is right and what is wrong. And I think that Western society has learned how to combat the church. Like you have regardless of all the people that would say abortion is immoral, you're always going to have legal abortion in Western civilization. Mm-hmm. Regardless of all the young earth creationists, you're always going to have a science classroom and science taught in university. Mm-hmm. It's something that we can combat. Now, in the absence of religion, yeah?
Can I ask you a question real quick? Just as an aside.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that having a society that actively discriminates against people or thinks less than a group of people.
I'm about to get to that.
So do you think that is a more moral society?
I think that people, for the amount of people that were told gay people are bad, hate them, there's always going to be that same demographic that believes it unquestioningly is anything else you tell them to hate. So in the absence of a church that's telling people to hate gay people, what we have is a fundamentalist political movement instead, where they are literally unquestioningly being told, if someone disagrees with you, they're a bad person and you have to hate them.
Not to the extent, though, that we're looking forward, I don't think.
And I think that if that political movement wasn't there, these same people would probably be churchgoers saying, I hate gay people because I was told to.
But religion does it in numbers that are incredible. You couldn't compare those to a political movement. I see what you're saying in terms of, there may be people who lean a certain political way that would say, but if you take the religion out of it, without it saying that this is an abomination and here's why, I don't think people would have much of a reason to, or a basis.
Unfortunately,
for
without an overarching system of morality prescribed to these people, they will latch on to anything that tells them how to be a good person, and they don't give a shit about the morality situation. I mean, these people don't give a shit about saying, I'm ruining a man's career because he said something I don't like. They don't give a shit about publicly vilifying and viciously attacking people who have only a moderate difference of opinion. These are the same people that would be Puritan 300 years ago.
Where do you get this from?
This is completely untrue. Religion does not own morality. Morality does not come. I realize that a lot of people use religion as their basis for morality, but like it's completely not necessary to do that. And people don't get a sense of, people can get a sense of right and wrong just from a human social, like really evolutionary even standpoint. You do not need a religion to tell you that something is wrong. And to be honest,
okay, so you're arguing that empathy, that our biological imperative to empathize with other human beings dictates right and wrong, correct?
Sure.
Well, why for the entire of human civilization has there been wars? Why, when they look at, when paleoanthropologists look at proto-humans in South America, are the majority of male corpses dead from physical impacts from arrows and spears? It's because biologically, yes, we are built to empathize, but we're built to empathize with that which we consider our in-group. And I think that we disconnect that empathy to the out-group.
That's evolved, so again, though, over time. I don't
you understand that religion causes would be like that. A lot of division. Like
correct.
Religion
those marks,
division yeah. out groups.
Those marks that you talk so about, the male path, probably were of the
sorry?
Other religion.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Person who made them.
Sorry, Kyle, we should have got,
well, we should have got Nathaniel back on. Nathaniel is a paleoanthropologist. So a paleoanthropologist. Let me ask him.
Probably made by the person of the opposite religion. A lot of the, in the past history has been brought on by religion. A lot of the wars, all of that stuff has been brought on by religion.
And yeah, I've never really understood the argument. Morality comes from religion, or religion has to. Religion seems to add to morality. Everything. I don't think people. I don't know too many moral positions that stem from a basis of religion. No, at least for no moral frameworks, right?
Okay.
Now, granted, you get into reformed epistemology and stuff from Plantinga, but for most of us, you know, we don't formulate our decisions of what is right or wrong based upon what we read in the Bible. I don't think even a lot of Christians do. So I don't think that the narrative that religion is required to have morality, or at least even to exacerbate, certain things to make things, or I should say less exacerbation, so less worse, you know, in society, is contingent upon having more religion. I don't see how that argument actually follows.
Well, Steve, I think you've actually kind of missed half of my point. So I opened up explaining that Piaget concluded that most people do not really have an internal barometer that measures the difference between right and wrong. Most people don't have the ability to cognitively grasp what you're saying about an internally derived morality, which is why
I would probably disagree with that study. When was that? When was that, by the way?
Yeah, where does that come from?
Again, this is developmental psychology, so it's a whole discipline. Piaget was the founder, and oh shit, it really taxed
my
brain
was
thinking
that
of the year.
What year did it do
the 20th century.
Okay, so we're going back. One person 100 years ago.
Okay. No, I'm just saying that's the paradigm by which I'm
arguing. I don't remember the data.
I honestly do not believe. I mean, I don't think it's the majority. I think most people are capable of empathizing and doing good for goodness sake. What I'm arguing is that there is always going to be a perpetual demographic in any society that requires an external system to prescribe to them right and wrong, and they latch onto it because they mentally need it. So
you're talking about operational stages, right? So you're talking about
it's a contrarian though. Like you don't. Let me ask this: do you honestly believe what you're saying? Do you believe what you're saying here, personally?
Oh, that's right. You didn't say you're being a contrarian.
Yeah, I do. I don't think that most people actually consider the difference between right and wrong. I think most people are just prescribed right and wrong, and that's why they behave so hysterically when they feel that there is a public contrivance. For example, last time I phoned in, the caller before me had a go at Steve because he said a forbidden word. Instead of saying people of color, he said colored people, and she asserted that made Steve racist. Just for misspeaking, that determined
racist.
To her what Steve was actually thinking.
No one called Steve racist, so, just to be clear.
Like, because there are reactionaries, you think that generally people can't figure out what's right and what's wrong just from a humanistic standpoint, from a general, like, this is bad because it does harm? Like, you think people can't figure that out because some people have to be followers?
Yeah, it does seem kind of odd to me,
too.
It's
a lot more nuanced than that, and it has to do with group dynamics. So, for example, I think, Steve, we've spoken about this. I'm Lebanese, and my mother lived through two civil wars, and she was quite traumatized from that, and she doesn't have a racist bone in her body. In fact, growing up, our closest family friends were a Muslim family, and they would look after me after school 3 days a week when both my parents were working late. But my mother nearly has a mental breakdown when she hears the words Allahu Akbar, because in her experience, the moment someone shouts that in a public place,
a lot of Muslims fail to see the difference between right and wrong. It's a frenzy where all sense is lost. You are either a Muslim or not, and that's when violence starts. And I think the group dynamics for quite
so
obvious reasons drive people to lose their sense of right and wrong in favor of whatever the group prescribes as right and wrong.
Well, so what you're describing is religion teaching people extremism and bad morality. And so here, what I don't understand is why you think we need more of that. Like, what makes you think that more of that is going to be helpful? Because these dividing factors that you're talking about, that people are taught, come from being indoctrinated into religion. So why the fuck would we need more of that?
Bingo.
Because it's the lesser of two evils.
No, it's not.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
The other one, the other option is not having that, having people say, oh, you don't think the way that I do? Cool. And walking away.
There have been so many studies about the impacts of religion on society and how it is a net negative, how countries that are less religious are significantly better off than countries that are more religious. And it's not just on a country basis. Within the United States, they've done these studies as well. And the states that are the most religious are the poorest, have the worst health conditions, have the highest rate of infant mortality.
Most violent crime, the most sexual assault. I'm familiar with the studies.
Domestic abuse. Religion is terrible. Why would we need more of it?
Right.
Because I think that there is that demographic of people that without it are latching onto political ideologies that are far more damaging to society as a whole.
And
the fact is that Western civilization has conquered religion. In spite of religion, we had the Enlightenment. In spite of religion, heliocentrism was determined to be true. It's an evil that Western civilization can deal with.
The political ideologies that you're talking about, the harmful ones, almost are mostly rooted in some type of religion. They call back to, they call back in some way, shape, or form to a religion. And if you you can't separate, you cannot separate those two. I think if you take away the religion aspect of it, the political part of it falls as well.
Well, unfortunately not, because we're seeing, for example, all monotheistic religions have an element of self-flagellation, self-denigration, and exaltation of the greater cause, the greater good, the greater power. Look at identity politics, where people literally lose their livelihoods over saying the wrong word in public. These people say, I'm privileged, or I'm white, or I have this particular systemic set of my firmographics make me a bad person. Like, therefore, I feel bad for it.
Type of party are you talking about? Casey, I think that's what you get. What political parties are you talking about?
Jordan Peterson, like, follower. Are you like a fan of Jordan Peterson? Because it seems like your problem is social justice and identity politics.
That would be one thing I do have a big problem with, but it's also the other side. People becoming radicalized on the other side because there fails to be a happy medium anymore, because
you're
either with me or against me.
So then the problem is extremism, which is rooted in religious and ideological bases. So I'm not really sure why we would need more of that. I still don't understand the logic behind why we would need more.
Right.
Again, it's not about quantity. What I'm saying is there will always be a certain proportion of the population that requires an external body to tell them what is right and what is wrong, and they will believe it with fervor, and they will believe it fundamentally.
That's incorrect, though. Welcome to believe.
What we have in the absence of religion are these crazy identity politics, these crazy alt-righters. I don't think that people would require to latch onto these crazy political extremes if there was a religion in place of it.
There is religion. I mean, the United States is rife with religion, so I'm not really understanding why you think
Here's a question. Do you think the society as a whole is getting better or worse from where we say, let's say, 100 years ago, 150 years ago? Is it getting better or worse?
From 150 years ago, it's getting substantially better.
Okay, religion is falling. You see the correlation there?
So, again, if we're comparing to the past 30 years ago, no. Whilst, yes, there is an inverse correlation between religiosity and the improvements of standards of living, there is nonetheless a positive correlation with people falling from religion and latching onto political ideologies as though they were a religion. It's a surrogate for that place in their life that religion would have once stood.
Right,
political
so why
ideologies
would you
speak
sorry?
Of that to be? What specific like political ideologies?
Okay, like you said before, identity politics. I honestly think it's... okay, so extreme right-wing beliefs and extreme left-wing beliefs. These people don't have explicit names for themselves unless you go, for example, to Antifa or, I don't know, neo-Nazis.
West
what I'm
Borough
saying
Baptist
is that this is not a phenomenon in which people want to identify themselves with a word, but rather that biologically they require something to tell them what is right and what is wrong. And without religion being the vogue thing to latch onto, they just latch onto outlandish ideas instead.
Biologically, they do not require this. I think that we both can agree that extremism on either side is bad, but replacing political ideology with religious ideologies or the other way around, it ideology is bad, so having more of it is bad and getting away from it is better. So I'm so confused. But if you're saying that the
again, because like I was saying, getting away from religion leaves a vacuum in which people don't have direction. So instead of religion, they latch onto politics.
Maybe we
it's
don't know.
It's a void in their life that they require.
There's no way of knowing.
Really, I don't really necessarily agree with this because people can do both, or do neither. Sure. Or do that? I'm just not sure where you're...
I have more faith in humanity, I think. And I don't think we're going to agree.
There we go. I think that's the crux of the issue, that I don't have any faith in humanity.
Sure.
I don't. I think that fundamentally we are tribalistic animals
that
latch on to some sort of group. Sorry, Kyle.
It's okay. People do better, I think, with the truth than when they do some narrative that makes them think that everything's going to be okay after I think once people have the truth and they know that there's not these chains that, like Dave said, these chains that religion puts people in, they turn out the better for it. Sometimes they don't. There may be examples of people that you know, you could point to that are the exception to that rule. But for the most part, I think people are better with the truth. And when they know the truth, they act better. But I appreciate
we don't see people losing their religion and all of a sudden becoming immoral monsters. I think that if there was something to be had by your argument, then it'd be like, oh, look, this person needs religion in order to prevent them from becoming a serial killer. Now, granted, there might be some isolated cases. I do know one or two people that I believe if they didn't have religion, they probably would be out there raping, pillaging, killing, and stuff like that. They have no moral compass because they're sociopaths. But that's a rare, rare condition. And to them, I say, hey, believe for the rest of your life. I'm happy with that. But for the most part, you know, when people stop having, you know, religious beliefs, it doesn't change their morality. My morality didn't change a fuck all when I left the Mormon Church. Not a single thing changed. I didn't all of a sudden become a different person. My moral, ethical considerations didn't change or anything. It grew for the better because I became ethically aware of certain issues, right? And I thought that the church was doing unethical things. So that was part of my moral framework. But it wasn't that I you know, became such, you know, an evil person because, you know, of losing religion. So I don't think your argument holds much water.
When I became an atheist, I did a lot of sinning.
Unfortunately, I think you're trying to look at people as though they had the thinking capacity you do. You're a smart, self-aware guy. For example, Ray Comfort, or what was Kent Hovind's son's name? Those idiots. I think they people like that who say, if I didn't have religion, tomorrow I'd become a rapist.
I don't think first of all, Ray Comfort's full of. I don't think people that buy that for a second. I do believe there are people out there. Ray Comfort's not one of them.
Well, and they say that to manipulate people. That's
a ruse.
They're using their religion to manipulate people, and they lie. They want people to fear what they might become or face if they're not religious. I mean, it's a whole manipulative power tactic, and I don't understand why more of that would be a positive for society.
I totally agree with Ray Comfort, especially. Yes, again, that is a total ruse.
Morality is, I think, only in the rare case derived from within. I think for the better part of the population, it's prescribed to them. So, for example, most people wouldn't steal because they'd get caught. But suddenly there's a riot and you have mass looting. Because there's no consequence. How are you going to catch them
people
all?
People don't. Hang on.
Someone
we got to end this. People do not steal because it's biblical. People don't say, "I'm not going to steal this because I'm Christian." They don't. Never. That never. I don't think in history people do that. I just don't buy that for a second.
Stop. Right? Stop missing. That was not what I said. What I said was, morality is prescribed to people through nuanced group dynamics. Now, a lot of people require it to be prescribed to them because they're incapable of reaching correct conclusions on their own. In the absence of religion, with Western civilization becoming more secularized, these people are latching onto politics. And the example of mass looting is an example of, without consequence, everyone doing what they would otherwise know to be wrong. It's not because it's in the Bible. It's because there would be a consequence for it.
There's a legal consequence for it. And also people that just steal. I mean, people who are mega pastors steal money from people. So I don't really... Ken Hovind, didn't he go to jail?
Tatum stole my heart.
So I'm sorry, but like... I don't think I've
directly articulated my point, because it's not about it being written in the Bible.
We got in the call. We get your point, but we're running a long time, and I have to read these super chats, so we do have to wrap it up. This is a conversation that I think should be its own show in and of itself. So you can email me at live@nonsexshow.com, and we'll set up a day and you can come in and we can do the entire show on it. But we are running out of time for that.
And I think we should have to take Walters on when
that'd actually be really cool.
Yeah, Walters would be really good for this.
Yes. Yeah,
email me. Set it up.
And as always, I'm sorry if I was cutting anyone off. It is an international call, so there's about a 1 second delay. I'm sorry if I was talking over anyone. But I'll email you when I get a moment, we can talk about it in further detail.
Great plan. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. All right. Lane Magny left a super chat without a message. Thank you. Trevor Hudson, disappointed. Those emphasis on the pointed part. Kwiasa, people shouting, "Oh God," during sex ain't exactly praying, are they?
No. I don't think so. And if they are, that's creepy and weird.
That was a sniff. I'm sorry. That was a sniff. I should have went. Yeah, that's a snort. Jim Hill, thank you for furthering the evil atheist agenda. You're very welcome. Gage Paragon says, get Godless Island. We already did that one. He then says, yeah. That's insane. I had no idea. I watched 90% of Non-Sex. Such a shame. TGI is a great storyteller. Sucks he as well a presumptuous or an idiot. Yep. The latter of that. Larry Walter, outside, outrage, nonsense, be damned. Support the conversation. Support Non-Sex. Love you folks always. Thank you very much. We love you too. Nathaniel Walters, if I had done this when I was a youth pastor. Susan Turpin, Nathaniel's going to call in and do his best Chewy, which he did. Kuyasa, holy shit, flat earth, dumpster fires actually led to someone's deconversion. Life is strange.
Weird, right?
Huh?
Weird, right?
Brian Shannon, you guys all kick ass from the Shannons. Thank you. You kick ass as well. Mark Carpenter, we don't know the whole story on Dave Gass. I hope tonight didn't kick him while he's down. That is what church folks do to those they claim to help. I don't think that it did kick him while he was down. We're just being completely transparent with the narrative that's going out there, and we didn't make a decision one way or the other. Foehammer 335, I agree with JC, GE, Kyle, Casey, Aaron Ra, etc. I truly thank you for making me feel not alone. I struggled with God for years until I found you guys. Well, we are glad that you found us. Absolutely. Definitely. Nathaniel Booth. Nathaniels are the best atheists. Love books. Susan, make him do the Chewbacca impression. Brian Shannon, then grab onto the right wing and tear it off. And let me get these last two that came in. Great show. Keep up the good work, guys and gals. Hope y'all had fun at the forum. Peace out. That's from... Mike Demon and Erica Williams left a super chat without a message. Thank you very much. I wanted to speak to the, let's see, where is that? Something to speak of. Can't find it now. Never mind. I lost it in the chat, but yeah. We'll get McCaw back on here. We'll talk about that more in detail. Oh, I know what it was. I had a backup plan, Casey, for this show in case we couldn't get Corey on because he was bitch made. Dave obviously didn't show up. And so I was racking my brain about what we could do in the meantime. And now this went perfectly because we filled up an entire show, but I just wanted you to know that I had the Oxford comma ready to bring out.
You did?
I sure did.
That's sure great. Did. We should do that.
We should do that. We will do that. I'm gonna try to get Scott Clifton back on too because he is a big proponent of the Oxford comma. He has it in his his Twitter profile. This is gonna be good.
There are so many people that I have explained the Oxford comma to and why it's important.
It unambiguates. A sentence can be ambiguous sometimes if you don't have the Oxford comma.
I agree.
We read it multiple ways.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
A legal case. I don't know. I think I talked about this. A legal case. I don't know if it was on a GE stream or on here, but a legal case was won by a group of employees against an employer because the sentence was not clear because the Oxford comma was not there, and they won a legal case about it because
I think
there
was
reading
something about a court case for a copyright issue was similar. There was amphibole with the sentence, and it was because of the comma, Oxford comma.
It's gonna be good then.
Yes.
What can make a difference? Yeah.
This will be good. This will be good. This will be the battle to end all battles. It'll be like Game of Thrones this past Sunday for the Battle of Winterfell.
I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I'm sorry, we're getting static from you, and I can't hear you. Bye, KC. I don't know what happened.
I tried. I fell asleep. It was boring. Sorry.
Just stop. Cut her mic off before she says anything else. She's going to regret. Well, we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, we had Ethan Lindenberger come on last week, and he testified in front of the Senate and got his vaccines when his parents didn't want him to. Really, really good guy. And his brother is a huge proponent of DMT and psychedelics. And if consciousness is a, I think about it this way, is consciousness something within us, and once we are dead, it's gone? Or are we like a receiver, and consciousness is always out there? Our bodies are just like the means by which we download essentially consciousness into our brains. He's going to be talking about that tomorrow. We're going to find out which one of those is true.
Jesus, so make sure that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know. But I'm just saying. Just saying that's going to be the conversation. So I look forward to it, and we're also going to talk about stoned ape a little bit. So finally, we get to talk about the stoned.
I know you love the stoned ape thing.
I do love the stoned ape theory. I don't believe in the stoned ape theory. I just think it's interesting. I think there may be aspects to it that could be something to it. But
you just really want to get high as fuck, don't you, Kyle?
I just really wanted to be. I just think that'd be really cool. I just think. Can you imagine just a stone?
Would you try DMT? I mean, under the right conditions, would you? Would you do a KC for under the right conditions?
I wouldn't know, because I'd have a bad trip.
DMT,
have a really bad trip,
or shrooms, or psilocybin.
No.
You know, Stalin took the DMT. Mao took the DMT.
The DMT. Hitler took the DMT. DMT.
DMT. The theory really explains his butt plugs. I'm just saying.
What?
The only thing that probably does, actually.
I have to have a diagram on that.
Kyle needs a diagram.
need crayons and
to harken back to an earlier time, we need blueprints.
Yeah.
We should just end the show right now. This is ridiculous.
I have a really bad dream, so I couldn't do that. Okay, guys, we'll see you back here tomorrow. So bring your DMT and your psychedelics. Let's turn on some black lights and some felt posters, and let's have a groovy time, you cool cats, and whatever else they say back then.
Bye, y'all.
You go peace. You gotta throw the peace sign. Groovy. Flower power.
Groovy.